Realtors who sell residential properties are well aware of the marketing and data resources available through RPR, Realtors Property Resource. But what if you're on the commercial side of the business, selling and developing shopping centers and housing communities? Well, here's some great news. RPR is there for you, too. Today, we talk with Nathan Graham, Director of Commercial Services at RPR, who outlines the added value RPR brings to the commercial folks. You can listen in on our conversation on the Royal Palmcast beginning right now.
You're listening to the Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville, and we are coming to you from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful and sunny Fort Myers, Florida. Today, we have a guest I've been looking forward to speaking with for quite some time. He works for an offshoot of the National Association of Realtors called RPR, Realtors Property Resource, and we're going to get right into it, and his name is Nathan Graham. Welcome, Nathan.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Jim. It's a pleasure. I wish I was joining you in sunny Florida there. I'm a little bit rainy in Portland right now, so I'm a little jealous.
Oh, Portland, Oregon, huh? That's the other Portland, not the one on the East Coast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is that the City of Roses? Is that what they call it?
Yep. Rose City. It's quite gorgeous. Quick aside story, actually, when we first came to Portland, I proposed to my wife in the Rose Gardens, which are famous up here. So, yeah, full advantage of the roses when we first came to town.
Lovely. How long have you been married?
We have been married for coming up 4 years.
Wow. Well, happy anniversary for all those that I've missed. Hey, Nathan, let's talk about RPR. Let's get right into it, because I think this is a topic that really needs some illumination among realtors and some others. Why don't you tell me, first of all, kind of your backstory. What was your career path to RPR? How did you happen to end up there?
Yeah, so I actually started in the association world. So I graduated from college, and my first job out of school was working for the Wilmington, which is in North Carolina, the Wilmington Association of Realtors, and got hired to help out with some marketing and some IT stuff. And eventually, my then boss, Jerry Pans, started giving me some extra work, and he ended up giving me kind of the commercial division to manage and work through. And through that, you know, I started going to NAR events and, you know, kind of grew my network in that level. And eventually, you know, as time tends to do, I kind of moved on and did some other things, got an MBA, and ended up in San Diego and at another association, at which time Emily Line, who kind of kicked off the commercial side of RPR, reached out to me to see if they would ever have interest in joining the team there, which eventually I did. So, yeah, it's one of those things. You know, Emily and I have known each other for, 10, 15 years now, so it's been great working with friends and getting to know some new folks in the RPR family as well.
That's awesome. That must be kind of almost like a dream job, right? Because RPR is such a cool thing.
It is fun. You know, there's a lot of different career paths within the real estate sector. And I've always been fascinated with technology and, you know, being able to merge commercial real estate with technology is really kind of a dream for me. So it's been incredible watching the industry grow and you know, alongside of that, watching RPR's growth to serve the commercial sector as well.
Now, your home office is in Chicago, correct?
Well, so RPR, we do have, you know, we kind of work with NAR quite a bit. So we have folks in the Chicago office. That's where our CEO and kind of our managing kind of, you know, top folks are. And then for the product team, they're all based out of Irvine, California. But I mean, like myself, most of our team is scattered across the country, working in various regions and so on. But we do have kind of those two kind of core central offices.
Oh, okay. Is NAR in the, or is it the Wrigley Building?
You know, I don't honestly know the name of the building. I know it's Michigan Avenue, and it's really close to the delicious called the Purple Pig that I always loved going to.
How about the Billy Goat Tavern? Did you ever go there?
I have not. I can't believe I go to Chicago. Well, I used to go to Chicago at least a couple times a year, and I've still never been to the Billy Goat. So that's still on the to-do list.
Kind of touristy anyway, but that's the cheeseburger place.
Yeah.
For those who remember. John Belushi. Real,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Back in the day. Enough about John Belushi and SNL. But so what's your current role at RPR?
Yeah, so currently I am the director of commercial services over at RPR. Basically, what I do on a you know daily, weekly, monthly basis is kind of working with brokerages and promoting RPR to the Keller Williams, the NAI Globals, setting up you know trainings, presentations, trying to you know participate in events that they're doing, and really focus on you know building the awareness within the brokerage community. And then also while I'm out doing that, I bring in a lot of feedback from users. And I'll go and talk to the product team and say, hey, you know, here's some things that are, you know, not quite what we might want them to be, or here's a new idea as far as a new data set we could bring in. So I'm kind of a liaison between the business side as well as our internal product team on the commercial stuff.
I gotcha. How long has RPR. It's RPR. how long has RPR been around?
Oh, let's see. I want to say it's been about 12 years now. So it's you know, it's not as young as a lot of people think, especially in the commercial side. But yeah, we've been going for over a decade now, and we actually just did our first major user interface refresh last February. So we're really excited about a fresh new look within RPR, and hopefully all the users out there have appreciated the work that our product team put into that.
Yeah, now it's my sense, Nathan, and correct me if I'm wrong, that RPR is a resource that if more people knew what it offered, they would take advantage of it, but we need to educate them. Is that correct?
I mean, that is, you know, kind of what I have gathered. You know, it's amazing how many times I'll do presentations for folks that have never either created an account or even heard of RPR. And I think it's important just to understand, you know, RPR is a true benefit of realtor membership. You know, part of, you know, the dues that realtors are paying to the National Association of Realtors, part of that, you know, funds our budget. And so there is no cost once you become a realtor to create your account, dive into the system and utilize it. So, yeah, I mean, awareness is part of it. And then just, you know, changing workflows is another, you know, kind of hurdle that we have to work with is just teaching people that there are, you know, maybe different or possibly even better ways to do some of their daily workflows within RPR.
So the realtors out there, commercial or residential, they're paying for, you know, the resources through their dues and MLS fees and other such fees, correct?
Yeah, well, strictly through their NAR dues. You know, we get, I don't know what the number is right now, but we get a certain percentage of the line item of NAR that they pay to be realtors, and that's how we get our budget funded. Yep.
Okay. All right. So what is it that you offer to the commercial broker? They, you know, folks want to know what's in it for me. Why would I take advantage of it?
Yeah. So I always try to explain RPR as a property-centric database. And so what that really means is we have a foundation of public records that are nationwide. So first thing you can do within RPR is explore on the commercial side, you know, properties across the country. Within those public records, you'll get, you know, tax information, deed records. Sometimes we even have plat maps when those are available, you know, ownership information down to kind of the corporate holding entities, and just basic descriptions of buildings that are not, you know, listed as on market. And so what we then do is we kind of merge our public record information with our listing partners. And so MLSs and CIEs across the country that are operated by associations, they'll partner with us. They'll send us, you know, the on-market listings from their users, their subscribers. And we merge that with our public records. So you can go into RPR and you can see both the public record information as well as, you know, that listing agent details to supplement the two. Another thing that we do within RPR to actually bring in more value is we've started over the last 2 years to work with some national partners. And so, you know, I don't know what it's like in Fort Myers, but across the country, and this is probably no shocker to anybody listening, but not every commercial practitioner is going to be a realtor. And so when you rely strictly upon MLSs and CIEs that are typically only used by realtors to, you know, look for properties, you can kind of run into a problem there. And so NAR actually chose Crexie as well as Brevitas to kind of be the national, you know, listing partners of choice. And through that relationship, we were able to bring in all of their listings. So any property that's listed on Crexie or Brevitas comes into RPR, and, you know, users can, you know, do one search in RPR and it'll search across both of their feeds. We also have some other brokerage feeds, you know, Coldwell Banker Commercial sends a listing feed, Century 21 sends a listing feed. So we're consolidating all of these property listings into one search within RPR. So just on the property side alone, you know, there's tons of value, time-saving efforts. But we also know that in the commercial space in particular, you know, there has to be a community fit element to, you know, that decision to buy or move into a space as a tenant or an owner-occupier. And so we also work with a company called Esri, who a lot of folks are probably familiar with, especially the CCIM listeners out there who use Site to Do Business. Esri also powers Site to Do Business. And we get kind of the raw data from them, being economic, demographic, consumer expenditure reports, tapestry segments, and a couple other data sets like that, where, again, you can, you know, do things like site selection searches across the country to find the business drivers before you go and look for space. You can run custom trade area reports and, you know, all types of different research-based workflows along with your property search workflows.
Wow, it's some pretty rich, pretty rich resource there. A lot of data. So tapestry segments, that term intrigues me. What is that?
Yeah, so Esri, man, they've been doing this for 30 plus years. But basically, these tapestry segments are kind of like profiles of different groups of people in the community. And so the way they do this is they look at, you know, attributes, you know, age, preferences, income, lifestyle stuff, and they group people together based on those shared and distinguishable attributes. And then they come up with these somewhat whimsical names just to kind of, you know, put a label on something. Like, you know, I think one is, you know, soccer moms, or, you know, old and restless, or young and restless is another one. Cafe and lattes is another one. Just the names themselves are a little kind of whimsical, but really what it does is it allows a user to go beyond, you know, just understanding the basic economic and demographic stuff to actually understanding, you know, how they live, what their preferences are, little things that a client might be able to utilize to be more attractive to that community and be a better business within that community.
Do you find that most commercial practitioners take advantage of the data and other resources?
So it depends who they really are. You know, it's interesting, you know, when I'm speaking to a group of CCIM members, again, you know, because of their familiarity with Esri in general, one of the first questions they ask is, you know, do y'all have tapestry segments? And so, you know, they're familiar with it just because they're exposed to it already. But yeah, there is a lot of information and data in RPR that I personally think is underutilized. You know, for instance, within RPR, you can, you know, place a pin on a property and say, you know, you want to run a trade area report that is like a 3-5-10 minute drive time. So basically you want to understand the complete economic demographic profile of a community that is drivable to a space within 3-5-10 minutes. You can do that in RPR. And so you can imagine, you know, if you're marketing a property right now and you can show somebody that there's, you know, high population density, high income, you know, so on and so forth, and you're presenting this as a high-end retail space, you have now the data to back up how you are promoting a space. Hmm. And you can do that in reverse. You know, if you're looking to acquire some space for a client and you want to make sure that, you know, again, the conditions are right for them, you can run that kind of report and reinforce why you're advising a client to move into a space versus another one with that kind of data-backed information.
Yeah, that really adds to the credibility of the practitioner, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That's why the realtors are the experts, you know, with access to data that is, you know, hard to get your hands on. I'll say it that way.
Yeah. Just to drill down into some specifics, can you do a comparative market analysis for commercial properties in RPR like you can for residential?
Yeah. And that's a really good question. You know, I get that a lot, especially, you know, again, a lot of my job is understanding the audience I'm speaking with. And a lot of times we work with in the realtor family, you know, residential practitioners that, are either trying to add commercial to their business, or you know, you're in a tertiary or a rural market where you can't survive on just doing commercial. And so, you know, the CMA is a question that I get, because when you're transitioning into commercial, you expect the same tools and processes to exist. And, you know, a comparative market analysis, the way that works on residential is you have, you know, a lot of different two bedroom, two bath, 3,000 square foot properties that have sold recently or are on market or have gone pending. And you can use, you know, an algorithm to come up with an approximate estimate based on, you know, all of that information that's going on in your market. The problem on the commercial side is the buildings are typically very unique. You know, you don't always have, you know, 30 different class A office spaces that sold within the last 6 months, you know? So it's just harder to use a CMA type of tool on the commercial side. So we don't have a CMA, but, you know, what people do on the commercial side is really focusing on the broker price opinion. And, you know, if you're curious what a BPO is, CCIM has some really great classes on valuing commercial space. I would highly encourage you all to check those out. But a broker price opinion is just looking at, you know, three different ways or maybe even four different ways to value a space, one of which is looking at comparables. So within RPR, you can go and find, you know, recently sold properties that match the space that you're either about to put an offer in on or about to put on market. So you can look at, you know, sold history that way and try to find the most similar property. And then what they'll do is they'll go and do something like a investment analysis pricing, where you're looking at, you know, analyzing the value of the cash flows. And then the, you know, third stage of most BPOs, if you can get an appraiser to provide you with an estimate as well, that's kind of, you know, using those three different valuation models and then trying to come up with a price that way.
Gotcha. Now, as you are well aware, there's been a pandemic underway for a year now. Hopefully we're really close to the end, but that has revealed some things about the commercial marketplace. For example, it's kind of proven the case that work from home works in many cases, not all, but so that has reduced demand, I would guess, for office space, especially in larger cities. What kind of trends are we seeing emerge from the experience of the last year?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff. You know, I'll give a shout out to NAR and some of the partners that they work with. You know, there's some really good trend reports out there, and just information in general. You know, repurposing retail space seems to be the coolest thing you can do these days, especially if you have those, you know, malls or just the large, you know, box stores and those shopping centers. I mean, so, you know, last mile delivery is obviously pretty popular right now. Again, trying to convert those big spaces into something that's a little bit more functional. You know, as you were talking about office earlier, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, there's a couple things going on, a lot shorter leases, you know, a lot more flexible space seems to be a trend. You know, you have people that are now expecting, kind of like you were saying earlier, to be able to work a little bit from home if they choose to, and then come into the office when they want slash need, I guess. Right. And so when you think about that, you know, you're going to have this flexible dynamic within any occupied office space. And so, you know, design's going to change. Lease terms seem to be getting a little bit shorter right now. We'll see if that actually, you know, continues forward. But yeah, in general, it seems like, you know, the amount of office square footage is going down in the central areas. But then you're also seeing, you know, some absorption of suburban office because, you know, as people are, you know, leaving kind of the central office mindset and becoming more of a spoken wheel model where, you know, they're trying to get closer to where people that work for them live, you're starting to see suburban office get utilized a little bit more. So it's just, you know, the one thing I love about commercial as an industry, you know, when one thing is doing badly, there's always something else doing really well. And if you want to, you know, improve the utilization of a space, go ask a commercial realtor, you know, what can we put here? You know, what's the highest and best use here? And they'll come up with 1,000 different ideas. It's just being able to, you know, get the financing, which, you know, fortunately, it's pretty easy and affordable right now to get financing. So some of these conversion projects are a little bit easier and a little bit more digestible from an investment perspective. But yeah, it'll be interesting just to see what trends that have been accelerated kind of hang on and which ones kind of, you know, dovetail to the side a little bit.
Yeah, these are interesting times for sure. And there are so many variables at play, the external factors that the practitioners can't control. So it's a matter of how agile they are, I suppose, as to how they fare.
Yeah, and you know, one thing you can do within RPR, so if, you know, one of my favorite examples right now are our ghost kitchens, which are, you know, the delivery centers for restaurants. So this started actually before the pandemic, where people were you know, building large spaces and they're putting like 10 or 15 different restaurants in there because they wanted to have delivery from one central point. And, you know, I don't know that that's going to go away. And so, you know, through RPR, if that's something you're interested in, or if you have clients that are interested in those types of investments, you can use our site selection tools and the Esri economic demographic data that's in there. And you can identify areas in your community that might support or would support a you know, ghost kitchen. So as long as you know the drivers of these trends, you can actually use RPR as a research tool to then go find some space that you might be able to convert and, you know, capitalize on these new opportunities.
Very cool. Sounds like something you could noodle around in all day and all night and just surround yourself with rich data. I love it. Yeah. Hey, Nathan, we're up against a quick break here, so if you don't mind hanging out for just another couple of minutes, we will be right back after this break.
Hi, this is Justin Thibault of LSI Companies, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Karen Borelli, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
This is Ned Hale. You're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Do you own a second home or a vacation property? Do you rent it out to vacationers? Local governments across Florida are over-regulating your ability to rent out your property. RPAC fights these regulations and defends the rights of homeowners across Lee County and Florida. Invest as little as $20 in RPAC today to help us fight unwanted government regulations. For more information or to invest, contact Kevin Besser, the Director of Public Policy, at kevin@rpcra.org.
Education? You need it? We've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast with our very special guest today, Nathan Graham, who is Director of Commercial Services for Realtors Property Resource, an offshoot of the National Association of Realtors. And today we're talking about the commercial side of RPR and what the organization has to offer that group of folks. We've learned some interesting things so far, so why stop now? You ready to go again, Nathan?
I am.
Let's do this. One of the questions I had for you, I wrote them down here, so I didn't want to forget a single one. We've seen a lot of conversations around the trends, as we talked about previously, but you know, especially for commercial folks, office space, that kind of thing. But what about land practitioners and developers? What's going on in their side of things?
Yeah, you know, a lot of what we've talked about can be applied to, you know, the RLI, ALC land groups that we have in the realtor family. One thing within RPR that I think is kind of unique is we actually have through our public records the ability to search land use. And so, you know, if you're looking for specific utilization of, you know, space, if you have a concept in mind and you need to make sure that it's already, you know, approved for dirt digging and all that, you can actually do a search within RPR and find that space both on and off market. So if you, you know, find a parcel of land that's off market, you'll be able to use the public record information to reach out to ownership and see if that's a project you can get going. Another thing that is kind of interesting and somewhat unique to RPR, we actually have a relationship with a company called REFM, which is Real Estate Financial Modeling. They build a platform called Valuate. One of the cool things about Valuate, and maybe we'll talk about the other side of this here in a bit, but one of the cool things about Valuate is they offer a back of the envelope calculator for land development projects. And so, you know, if you're a developer and you're trying to figure out if, you know, you want to spend a lot of money on engineering and architects and permitting, but you want to just kind of pencil out a deal before you do that, you can do that within Valuate. And so every realtor has free access to Valuate. Basically, you know, you plug in, you know, your FAR base allowance, and then you can just run through, you know, market conditions, soft costs, hard costs, how long it's going to take for you to build the project out. And then you can even plug in, you know, once it's built, all the income information that you expect. And then you can see, you know, when that project is at a point where you might want to like actually, you know, liquidate it and then take the profits out. So that's a unique tool that I think is really pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're working in the commercial space and commercial real estate, what level of the organization would RPR interact most commonly? Or who can derive the most benefit from it? Who in that organization?
And, you know, we've kind of touched on this a few times throughout. You know, it's really built for wherever you are at in your commercial career. You know, we have self-guided tours for those of us that are new to the commercial space. Like if you go into RPR right now and, you know, you've heard about opportunity zones and you're not exactly sure what they are or how to figure out where they exist, there's at the very top of the new RPR site a tutorial that'll walk you through how to discover if a property is inside of an opportunity zone. So, you know, we've tried to design this site knowing, you know, the realtor family, and, you know, there are definitely a lot more, you know, and I'll use this term in the kindest, most endearing way I possibly can, resimercial folks out there that, you know, go between both sides versus those full-time commercial in the realtor world. So we did consider them very highly as we're building out, especially this new redesign. So that said, you know, within RPR itself, we are definitely at that high-end commercial user as well. What I find is it's less a complete solution for those folks because, you know, some of those people are using CoStar, some of those people are using LoopNet, some of them have, you know, other preferred investment analysis tools, but there are always, you know, two, three different things that you can do within RPR as a high-end commercial-only practitioner that is either going to save you time, save you money, or just be better than what you're currently doing. And so, like I said, you know, I think that on the kind of getting into your commercial expertise, you can use RPR for just about all of your workflows. Once you become, or if you're already an established commercial practitioner, there's probably going to be things that you can kind of pick and choose, you know, be that the site selection tool or the investment analysis tool or, you know, just being able to get those Esri tapestry segments and that kind of stuff out of RPR.
I gotcha. So what's the best way if you're in the commercial business and you're just kind of vaguely familiar with RPR, what's the best way to get started? How do you take advantage of the resources?
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't already created your account, that's definitely step one there. So just go to narrpr.com. That's the website there. And the way it works, if you haven't set up your account, is you have to have your NRDS number. So that's, you know, your NERDS number is what I've always known it as.
Right. Yeah. It's NERDS.
Yeah, exactly. And you can always get that from your local association if you don't have that memorized, which I actually do have mine memorized because I had to use it.
Me too. Yeah.
I won't say it on this podcast, but yeah, you have to have a NERDS ID. That's how we identify you as an active realtor. And again, realtors get free access. If you're not a realtor, you know, you have to join a local association to get access. Or if you're an Institute affiliate member, you do get access at least through the end of 2022, or I'm sorry, through March of 2022. But once you set up your account, just play around. I mean, honestly, this is one of those sites, these systems that you're not going to break anything. You know, there's no fines for doing something wrong or anything like that. There's no input method in RPR. So you're not adding listing, which is where you kind of can run into complications. Basically, you can do searches. You can play with the site selection tools. What I find people do a lot of times is they'll go in there and they'll do a property search just to kind of see what on market information is there. And then they'll start doing some of the site selection and trade area reports because they want to see, you know, does the economic and demographic information that Esri's providing kind of match with what they're seeing at their local market level. So that would kind of be my two suggestions. Do some searches, go run a trade area report, and just, you know, confirm for yourself that this is good, solid data that you want to provide to your clients.
Gotcha. Say again the website.
www.narrpr.com.
NARRPR.com.
Yes, sir.
Very cool. Very cool. And if someone should want to reach out to you, is that possible? How do folks get in touch with you if they have a question in particular?
No, I don't take phone calls or emails.
Not interested. Nah. Now, what's the best way to interact?
Yeah. No, I love hearing from folks. My email address is nathang@narrpr.com. Shoot me an email if you have any questions about, you know, how to even get started. I also love sharing information. If you're new to the commercial space, there's some good folks out there that can help you learn and grow, not just using RPR, but just understanding, you know, the differences in commercial from residential. Any ideas on how we can make the site better? I love hearing those as well. So definitely give me a shout and I'll respond as quickly as possible.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I know that you've recently redesigned your website and it is extra usable now. It's really intuitive, the design.
Yeah, no, our product team did a great job. And, you know, one of the things I think that, you know, helped us get to that point is we actually talk to users. You know, I know that's a shocking concept there, but we did a lot of user groups and, you know, Emily Line, who actually brought me into RPR, she is now the head person that works with, you know, making sure the site is user friendly and focuses on that group. And so she did a great job of bringing people together, providing honest feedback. You know, it doesn't help us when people say, oh, this is perfect, this is great, and then you don't use it. We want to know why you use it or why you don't use it or what would make you use it more. And so, you know, with that feedback, our product team really did some insightful things. And, you know, from the commercial standpoint, you know, one of the simplest things they did, which I think is just incredible, you can now search, you know, both for sale and for lease at one time. And that's honestly kind of unique for commercial sites. And so we're really happy with how it's turned out. It's not perfect right now and it will never be perfect, but we are always trying to keep improving and keep moving forward so that our users can get what they need as quickly as possible and get out and, you know, go make some deals happen.
Yeah, the staff there is wonderful. As you know, I've had a few conversations with your colleague, Andrea Goodhart, and we're actually going to be doing a couple of shows with her in the very near future to talk about the residential side of things. So if you're in the residential business and didn't hear what you needed to hear here, you will hear it later from Andrea.
And she's the best. So y'all have a lively and very entertaining conversation, I imagine. So I'll be
following
my friend.
Nice. In fact, she introduced me to you. And so and you've been great, too, because I think people just need to know what's out there so they can take advantage of it. It's a win-win for everybody, really.
Yeah. And I appreciate you literally giving me this microphone to help promote. So this has been really, really great. Again, if anybody out there wants to shoot me an email, nathang@narrpr.com. And hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yeah. You know, it almost sounds like we're at a natural finish here, Nathan, but that's not quite true. I warned you about the lightning round, right?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, this is time for the lightning round. This is the part of the show where we get to know a little bit about you as a person, not just a professional, but a person. So what we're looking for here in the lightning round is some soundbite responses, and just don't overthink it. I'm going to ask you about a few of your favorite things. Whenever you're ready, let me know.
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it.
It's early out here, so who knows what's going to come out of my mouth.
Yes, I've now got the official 3x5 game show host index cards with the questions to today's lightning round or something. I don't know what's on there. But anyway, we're going to ask you the questions right now. All right, Nathan, where would you live if not in Portland?
Ooh, I have always wanted to live in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, huh? You must have visited there once or twice.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I have a good friend that's from that area, and we used to take surf trips when I was living on the East Coast down there quite a bit, at least once a year, actually. So I love Puerto Rico.
Very cool. Now, Nathan, tell me, what's your guilty pleasure, something you typically don't reveal?
Ooh, guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Scotch, I guess, is somewhat of a guilty pleasure of mine. You know, I feel pretty guilty. I try not to do it too often because it can get a little dangerous, especially in the mornings. But a good scotch, you know, after a rough week is never bad, or even a good week, honestly. So that would be probably my top guilty.
Scotch is good. Scotch is good. Now tell me about some of your favorite things, Nathan, your favorite TV show.
Ooh, man, that right now, I feel like we're in the golden era of television. Recently, you know, my wife and I enjoy more of the horror movie side of things. So we've been getting into a lot of that. There's some Netflix shows, Cinderella is a good one. It's about this Asian utopia world that got overtaken, and it's just a bunch of crazy stuff happening there. You know, of course, I love all the traditional, shows that are kind of going on. Ozark's a great one. Game of Thrones, when that was happening, was incredible. I actually heard they're going to be doing kind of some spinoffs there, so I'm excited to see what those turn out to be.
Very nice, very nice. So what's your favorite food?
Ooh, man. You're asking some tough questions here.
Don't overthink it.
I know. It's probably chicken wings, to be honest with you.
That's a fair answer.
Nothing better than smoking some wings on the grill outside and then tossing in your favorite sauce and just having at it. But I love all food. I cooked through college, so I grew a taste for some different things. And but chicken wings are my go-to.
Spicy ones, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't bring that ranch either.
What's your favorite movie, Nathan?
Oh, favorite movie of all time?
All time.
Man, City of God is one that always sticks out to me. I always loved City of God.
City of God, I'm not familiar.
Oh, it's a Brazilian movie based on this group of friends that are kind of stuck in the favelas there, and just, you know, some of the struggles that they went through to kind of, you know, try to escape and that sort of thing. It's pretty old. I mean, we're talking in the 2000s and that kind of thing. But that one's really good. It's a little violent. I don't know if that's your cup of tea or not, but it's a really captivating story for sure.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, my wife's from Brazil, so I'm sure she'd be interested as well. All right, one last favorite, your favorite book.
Ooh, favorite book. Oh, man. That's a really tough one. Gosh. I don't even know where to go with this. I feel like I've been picking up a lot of books lately.
You like Stephen King, right?
No, actually, you know what?
No.
Never read a Stephen King. Barbarian Surfer was probably the favorite book that I've read recently. It's about a New York Times writer obviously he's also a surfer, but he did this, you know, over a year trip across, you know, parts of the country. And it's just his stories about travel and, you know, catching fun waves and then dealing with, you know, life back in the States and having to work and, you know, becoming a family person. So, you know, I really enjoy kind of that type of travel based, real life concept. Especially if you throw some waves in there.
Yeah, nice, nice. Changing the subject here. Socks with sandals, yes or no?
No.
Of course not. Who would even say yes to that?
That's a hard no.
Who?
Crocs, it's okay.
Oh, with Crocs. All right. What celebrity have you been told you resemble?
Well, back when I was a younger man and a more in shape man, I got Justin Timberlake on occasion, which is a high compliment. And then also I dyed my hair blonde one time and I got Eminem quite a bit. So
Eminem. Wow.
That probably dates me as well, if you can remember back with Eminem.
8 Mile. Yeah. Love it. Love it. All right. Do you do any imitations, Nathan?
Nope.
I know you do, but you just hold them back because you know I would ask you to do it. All right. I hold in my hand the last lightning round question here, Nathan. You get one bucket list item. What is it?
Ooh, one bucket list item. I mean, it's definitely going to be some sort of travel. I've always wanted to, and we were actually about to take this trip before the pandemic struck, but a buddy of mine, his wife is from India. And he and I and my wife were planning to do like a 2-week trip flying into India and then going down to, you know, Sri Lanka and then just surfing and eating good food. And, you know, you talked about, you know, my favorite food item. It was chicken wings, but my favorite cuisine is definitely Indian food. I love it.
Oh, and just, that's good.
Anytime I can see a new culture, I'm all about that. And again, if you can throw some waves into something, I'm all about that as well. So
nice. You can hold the waves for me, but I love the multicultural aspect of your approach to life. It's very, very cool. All right. Hey, that is the end of the lightning round. Yay, that's been fun. Thanks for being a sport and playing along with that. One more time before we leave, how do folks get in touch with you and what's the website, please?
Yeah, so if you want to check out RPR, you just need to, you know, obviously be a realtor. That's the only way you can get access. But if you go to www.narrpr.com, you can go there. And then to reach out to me, it's just nathang@narrpr.com. Again, shoot me an email. Always love hearing from folks, especially these days when I don't get out like I used to. So it's good to have some new contacts in the world.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, Nathan, thanks once again for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to hearing your conversation with Andrea. She's going to be great.
I'm looking forward to it myself. And I want to thank everybody here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, for all they do to support us here in the studio. I want to thank Jerry Johnson, who's been our board op today. He's done a fantastic job, as always. And you can look forward to speaking with Jerry on the next episode very soon. So I'm Jim Sandville, your host, and you have been listening to the Royal Palmcast in Fort Myers, and we will look forward to talking with you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week. Share and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Rap, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions, email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.